As we come together this morning, God greets us and he says, grace and peace to you from him who is and who it was and who is to come, and from the sevenfold spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful God, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. And as God has greeted us, please greet and welcome one another in Christ's name. Good morning. How are you?
Good
to see you. Hi, Gary.
Thank you.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days, I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar.
This morning we do have the joy of celebrating the sacrament of baptism, and this morning I'll be reading from a form, and it's not found in the Psalter hymnals, so just invite you to follow along and to listen as we celebrate this wonderful occasion. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's hear our Lord's command concerning the sacrament of holy baptism. After he had risen victorious from the grave, Jesus said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." In 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." In obedience to these scriptures and many others, the church baptizes believers and their children. By baptism, God ensures us that he will be with us always. When in the beginning the deep, dark waters churned, God's Spirit hovered over them. When in Noah's day the waters engulfed everything and destroyed the world, God saved his faithful people whom he loved. When in Egypt Pharaoh's army hotly pursued the Israelites into the sea, God parted the waters and let his people through safely. When in the dead of night in Galilee's raging sea, Jesus' disciples feared for their lives, he called out and he said, "It is I, do not fear." Time and again, you see, God has saved us and God has been there for us in our time of need. God saved our drowning ancestors and he promises to rescue us. For Christ, our Savior, went down into the depths of hell and he rose up victorious from them. Therefore, we receive God's baptismal promise, trusting that he will rescue us from the dark depths of sin and death and bring us to safe shore and firm ground. Let's come before our God in a time of prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that you will never destroy us in our sin as with the flood, but save us as you saved believing Noah and his family, and spare us as you spared the Israelites who walked safely through the sea. We pray that Christ, who went down into the Jordan and came up to receive the Spirit, who sank deep into death and was raised up Lord of life, will always keep us and our little ones in the grip of his hand. We pray, O Holy Father, that your Spirit will separate us from sin and openly mark us with a faith that can stand the light of day and endure the dark of night. Prepare us now, O Lord, to respond with glad hope to your promises so that we and all entrusted to our care may drink deeply from the well of living water. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Mike and Kayla, since you have presented Victoria Reed Zavenbergen for Holy Baptism, you're asked to come and to answer the following questions before God and his people. First, do you profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And do you affirm your promises of God made to you and your children in his word? Second, do you promise to instruct Victoria by word and example with the help of the Christian community in the truth of God's word and in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ? And third, do you promise to pray for Victoria and teach her to pray? Do you promise to nurture her within the body of believers as citizens of Christ's kingdom? Mike and Kayla, what is your answer?
We do, God helping us.
Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Let me step forward. Victoria Reed Zavenbergen, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we rejoice in your great faithfulness. We rejoice in this family and for the faith that they have and for the faith that they are sharing with their children. Lord God, we pray for Mike and Kayla and ask that you might continue to strengthen them as they raise their children to know you and to love you, and as they point them to Jesus. Lord God, we pray that today as we witness the baptism of Victoria Reed, that each one of us will be reminded of the time that we have been baptized. Remind us of your great faithfulness and of your covenantal love. We pray this in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, we have heard promises made this morning, but we're going to ask the congregation to make a promise too. And if you also would respond, we do, God helping us. Brothers and sisters, we now receive Victoria Zevenbergen into Christ Church. Do you welcome her in love? Do you promise to pray for, encourage, and help nurture her in your faith? People of God, what is your answer? God helping us. All right, thank you. And at this time, we will receive the morning offering. And the offering this morning is for support of Meals from the Heartland. We now have a time for announcements, so if there is an announcement for the body this morning, Gary is primed and ready to go, so he'll start off, but if anybody else has announcements that they would like to make, feel free. Any others? Let's come before God in a time of prayer. Father God, we come before you on this beautiful Lord's Day. What a joy to see the sun shining this morning and to just experience this wonderful day of worship, this day of rest, this day of coming together as brothers and sisters in your name. Lord, we are so thankful that we can join together and this morning that we could witness once again the sacrament of covenantal faithfulness, and that we could rejoice in the way that you continue to carry out your plan in our lives and in the lives of our children and grandchildren. And we praise you this morning, Lord, for your great faithfulness. We thank you too, Lord, as we have heard of the opportunity to feed those who are homeless. We thank you for all those who made that possible. And we thank you for giving to us the opportunity to show that you are a God of compassion, a God who cares for us, who watches over us, and who provides for our needs. And we just thank you, Lord, for all of those who shared your heart of compassion to make this possible. Lord, thank you, too, that we can celebrate Labor Day weekend. Lord, for many of us, that means a day off from labor. And even though there is a little bit of irony in that, Lord, we thank you for this weekend, for tomorrow, for Labor Day, and for what it stands for. Thank you, Lord, for creating us as people who work. And we thank you when our work provides us with times of joy and meaning and fulfillment. And Lord, we pray too this morning that you be with those who are unemployed, who are not able to find work that will enable them to provide for their own needs and for the needs of their family. We ask, Lord, that that might change, that they might be able to find employment quickly that will give them a means of support, but also a sense of fulfillment and a sense of serving you. And Lord, for those who are underemployed as well, Lord God, help them to find positions that will enable them to use the gifts that you have given to them in service to you, first of all. And so, Lord God, as we think about labor and about our jobs, our occupations, and our vocations to which you have called us to serve, we pray that we might do our jobs to the best of our ability, that we might see you as the one for whom we work. Not just to get a paycheck, not just to get to the weekend, Lord, but help us to use our vocations as means of worshiping you and serving you. Lord God, we thank you for this time of worship today. We hear about the ministries of this congregation as the education meetings, our season is getting underway. We pray, Father, for the teachers that have committed themselves to instructing the children of this congregation. We pray, Father, that you will give them the strength they need and the encouragement. Use them in a mighty way, Lord, to help the children of this church and of this community to grow in their understanding of you and of your world. And so continue to provide the teachers that are needed, Lord, and continue to strengthen them as in this very important task. Lord God, we want to pray too for this congregation as they're currently without a pastor to lead and to serve, and we ask for your direction for their search team. Lord God, may you give instruction to them and lead them to the person that you would have to serve in this congregation. Lord God, continue to bless those who are picking up the slack during this time for those who are serving in ways that they're probably not accustomed to serving. And we just ask that you will bless them in that act of service to your people and to your church. Lord God, we want to pray this morning too for those who are in need of your care in special ways. We pray for Drew Geiser, Lord, as he is recovering from surgery. We just ask that you continue to surround Drew with your care and with your protection. Lord God, may he have a very strong sense that he is in your hands, that you know his name, that you care for him. And we pray for Drew and for his parents and ask that you will just bless them with a peace of knowing that this too is in your hand. And And we pray for a quick and a complete healing for Drew, that he might be restored to health and be able to get around once again. We pray, Father, for those who are dealing with cancer. Lord, it seems like so often we hear of another person who's been afflicted by cancer of one kind or another, and Lord, it's a hard journey to walk. And so we pray for those who are dealing with treatments, who may be facing surgery, who are struggling to get through this difficult time. And so, Lord God, for those who are dealing with cancer in their lives, we pray that you might sustain them, that you will hold them in your hand. Bless the treatments that they receive. May the treatments be very effective. May the side effects be minimal. And Lord God, may you bring them through this journey stronger and closer to you. We pray also this morning, Father, for those who are in care facilities. Lord God, we just ask that you might surround them with your care as well. Lord God, may they know that they are not forgotten by you or by their brothers and sisters in this church. May they know the support of this fellowship. And God, may they know that you are near to them. Please uphold them with your mighty arm and surround them with your care and love. Lord God, we pray too for the extended ministries of this congregation as well as part of the denomination, the Christian Reformed Church, and we ask that you support their missionaries that they support as they serve in home missions and in world missions with World Renew and Back to God Ministries International. Lord, may all of these agencies be a way that your gospel is proclaimed, that disciples are made and instructed in the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord God, we lift our prayer before you because we know you are a God who hears and who answers prayer. And so we're so thankful that we can bring these needs and these concerns, but also our praise and worship to you this morning, knowing that you are here. And we can do this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning is from the Revelation of John, chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. God's word comes to us there. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel coming up from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God and who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders asked me, These in white robes, who are they and where do they come from? I answered, Sir, you know. And he said, These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. People of God, when I was a youth pastor in Detroit in the 1980s, and yes, I know it's hard to believe that I'm that old, but when I was a youth pastor, I was hearing the young people talking about this newfangled invention called a video cassette recorder, a VCR. Now, they talked very seriously about the advantages and the disadvantages of beta VCRs or VHS VCRs, but I didn't really know the difference, what they were talking about. Well, after a couple of years, we decided it was time for us also to enter the video age. And so we saved up our money for a couple of years, and I went to the appliance store to buy a VCR, thankfully a VHS and not a beta. So I went to the store and I found a VCR that met all of our criteria. It was on sale. And I purchased the VCR and I took it home, read the instruction manual for a couple of weeks at least, and finally got it hooked up to the TV set. And it was great for about a month or so. And then our VCR started doing some strange things. It started to tape one station, the picture, but you would hear the soundtrack from a different station. So, for example, on Sunday nights, if we wanted to tape 60 Minutes, we would see 60 Minutes on the tape, but we would hear America's Funniest Home Videos. And that wasn't good. And so I took the VCR back to the appliance store, and wouldn't you know it? It worked perfectly. You know, they tinkered with it a little bit, sent it home, and as soon as it got home, it went right back to its old tricks. And so I took it back to the store once again, and they would not believe me until I put a tape in it and let them see and hear it. Well, this morning, I would like you to imagine just a little bit that you're watching a tape from that defective VCR. The picture you are seeing is of the evening news, but the soundtrack is from a movie of romance and love, something that tugs on your heartstrings. The picture is of soldiers with semi-automatic rifles herding a group of ragged refugees down a dusty road. But from the tape, you hear a surge of romantic music, and you hear the voices of actors speaking passionately to one another. You catch bits of phrases here and there. And no more shall we, I promise you, but only love. And then the voices sort of fade off, and all you hear is misty music. Meanwhile, the hopeless refugees and the heavily armed soldiers disappear from the screen. You see the newscaster for a few moments, followed by the next on-the-scene report. Seagulls and fish are covered with the black sludge of an oil leak. People in raincoats are raking and shoveling up a beach, which is also covered by that black, vicious sludge. But on the soundtrack, you hear the sound of Mendelssohn's Wedding March. The movie must be coming to an end. The trumpets are sounding their last famous triumphal call. And so while you're watching a worker on that shore pick up a large, dead bird covered with oil, you imagine the grand wedding procession in the movie without a picture. The bride in white and the smiling groom. The newscast images on your television insist on one reality, while the music coming from the tape keeps awakening a different scene. Well, it's just too confusing to keep watching and listening to two different programs, and so you turn the volume way down on the television set. Now you watch in silence the face of the news announcer mouthing words you cannot hear. You decide to turn the VCR off and take it back to the appliance store and get ready for bed. But as you get ready for bed, you find a strange thing happening to you. Usually, you know, when you click off the television set, your mind goes back to what happened to you during the day or think about what you need to do tomorrow. But tonight, something different is happening. Tonight, the images of those hopeless refugees and the oil-covered creatures don't fade from your mind. You find that those TV images are held there by the music that keeps replaying itself in your head. The music that you thought was just a sentimental intrusion upon the real world of the news show had done something that the words of the newscasters had never been able to do before. The music had amplified the dissonance and the disharmony between the brutality and the pain and the violence in the world and the hopes of the human heart for a life of fidelity and trust and love. Even if the movie was just a Hollywood concoction, there is no denying those yearnings of the human heart that it has stirred. If you had heard just the love music entirely on its own, or if you had seen just the news entirely on its own, it would have been a different situation. The effect would have not been the same. Then you could have entered one reality or the other. You would have accepted each one on their own terms. But the contrast between the two, the picture that you saw of the things in the world and the music of love, with those two things set side by side, it's broken the grip that the news announcers usually hold on you. Instead of just concluding, wow, I guess that's just the way the world is. We live in a broken world, don't we? And then going to sleep. Instead, you find yourself thinking, the world does not have to be that way. The world knows, the heart knows other possibilities. And as you go to bed and the music continues to echo in your memory, you find yourself praying for those hopeless refugees. You find yourself praying for the creation and for the creatures so violated by that polluting oil. Now that moment of prayer, awakened by the scenes before you, that moment of prayer brings you very close to the situation of John, the author of the book of Revelation. As John receives his vision, he begins by saying, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. And as we pray, that brings us close to the Spirit of John. Although he had no television, like you, he had an imagination that was filled with images and filled with the sounds of remembered music. Also like you, he knew the brutality of the world in which we live. He was keenly aware of the pain and the violence and the heartache that comes in a world that has been broken ever since Adam and Eve took that first bite of the apple in the Garden of Eden. He knew that Satan has continually pestered and messed up and spoiled this world. And he knew that because of that sin, people do immeasurably cruel things to one another. It is tempting to read the revelation of John as in such a way that it is completely otherworldly, or maybe we read it as a mystery that we need to try to decipher, a riddle that if we know the answer, we have a heads up for what's going to happen in the future. But we cannot read the book that way. We need to read the revelation of John in such a way that it's attached to the reality of John's world, a book that illumines what it means to faithfully live day by day committed to our Savior Jesus Christ. To understand Revelation in that way, we need to grasp the significance of John's own historical situation and also realize how envisioning another world empowers John to survive the horrors of his present situation. The Roman authorities had exiled him to the island of Patmos because of his Christian witness. He was one of the more fortunate believers, actually. At least he was not slaughtered. Nevertheless, exile is a cruel and unusual punishment. His situation was one of excruciating psychological and spiritual isolation. There was little he could do on this rocky little island, 37 miles from the mainland. He was a man of passionate love, a man of passionate faith, who had been ripped from the worshiping community that had sustained him. And John looked out from the cliffs of Patmos, and the world appeared to him as violent as the world appears to us when we watch the evening news. He sees the Roman ships, their decks loaded with soldiers and with chariots headed off to their next conquest. He feels the overwhelming weight of worldly power, the impossibility of escape, and the brutality and injustice of his own situation. But the soundtrack that played in John's mind was not the war songs of Imperial Rome. Instead, the soundtrack that was playing in his mind were the songs of worship and praise that he remembered from when he was with the church on his community. Hymns like Philippians chapter 2, hymns that sing praise to the Lord and Savior of his life. Maybe he forgot some of the words after a few years on the island of Patmos. Maybe he forgot exactly how the tunes went. But what he never forgot was the music within the music. The assurance of faith that the brutality of the world around him is not the final and triumphant reality of life. The news from the mainland was bad. Christians needed shelter from persecution. They needed food. They needed drink. They needed guidance when they were on the run from their persecutors. They needed comfort as they mourned for those who had been slaughtered. They had nothing that they could call their own. And as John thought about these desperate people and as he imagined all those who were yet to suffer before the kingdom of God was fully realized, John recalled a hymn. Maybe he composed it himself, drawing inspiration from well-known verses out of the Psalms and Isaiah and Ezekiel. And then he wrote, "Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Psalm 23, Ezekiel 34. John's memories of, of Jesus' own teachings contribute to the lyrics of the music. All of these passages give witness to the extraordinary power of picturing God as a shepherd who will be with his people, who will guide them even through the valley of the shadow of death. The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God who is willing to be sacrificed on the cross of Calvary in order to bring mercy and salvation to his people. That Lamb has now become the shepherd who guides and protects and provides and comforts his people. These words from Revelation remind us, as they did when they were first written, that the ultimate and the intended goal of our lives is to experience the assurance, the comfort, and the guidance of the shepherd who gathers all who are bruised and abandoned and mistreated into a community where they shall never thirst again, nor hunger, and the sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. The music from this hymn, like the love music coming from that defective VCR, it stirred a vision in John that was utterly different from the Roman ships that passed before him. His vision was a counter vision to the vast worldly power that had put them on that desolate little island and that was threatening the church on the mainland. John saw an alternative world, another reality, a different way of being. And to imagine such a world, it was not to escape to unreality. It wasn't a pie in the sky in the sweet by and by. No, it was rather to see the world as God sees the world in its richest and best possibility. And we are able to envision this world because the revelation of John allows us to know the rest of the story. From that vision, John drew strength for himself and for the churches he loved who were facing horrors that they could not escape if they were to remain true to their Lord and Savior. Like the music of love accompanying the news broadcast, John's hymn is a reminder of the yearnings of the human heart. And yet it is so much more than that. This hymn is a declaration that the world that we know today, a world that is full of violence and hatred and enmity, this world will not be the same because our world belongs to God. And so look at the world before you. Don't close your eyes to the pain and the violence and the sorrow and the need. Look at the world. But let John's hymn and let his vision rise up within you. Look at the battered women and children. Look at the hundreds and thousands of Iraqis who are being chased down and slaughtered by ISIS. Look at the faces of the children on our southern border who are trying to escape the poverty and the violence of their own land. Look at them. But listen to the music. God, who sits on the throne, will shelter them with his own presence. And because God, our Father, has promised to shelter them, we also need to protect them. Look at those who are hollow eyes of those who are hungry. Look at the bulging stomachs of the children of Haiti. Look at the villages in Nicaragua who don't have any clean water. Look at them, but listen to the music, when God says they shall never hunger anymore, neither shall they thirst. And because God, their Father, promises to provide for them and meet their needs, we who are called by his name must also give from our own abundance, and we need to provide a cup of cold, clean water for them. Look at the people who are lost to drugs and alcohol. Look at the homeless on the street. Look at the prisoners. Look at those who are caught up in addictive lifestyles. But listen to the music. For the Lamb of God, who is in the midst of the throne, will be their shepherd, and he will guide them, to living water. And since Christ will guide them, we who claim to follow Christ will point them to the Savior. Look at those who mourn. Look at the faces of parents who have to bury their children. Look at those husbands and wives who have lived with their spouse for so many years but now need to live alone. Look at them. But listen to the music. God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And because God has promised to comfort them, we too must offer comfort. You see, John gives to us a glimpse of the worlds that we can only begin to conceive. And in that brief vision, we receive strength to work for the coming of the new creation, of the new heaven and the new earth, and to bring that to reality. Don't wait for the disturbing sounds of our world to just fade away. Don't let them just die and grow quiet in your head. Don't try to silence the intrusive and the insistent images from the world. Instead, listen with the ears of John and sing with John until your song and your prayer and your actions are all one and the same. Then through your life, others will hear the song of John, and the world will lose its iron grip on their lives. And they too will be empowered to sing and to act in unison with all those who declare praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we are so grateful for the vision that John had of the new creation. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us to have that same vision. And Lord, while we are here to be your children, to work for those who are struggling, to bring mercy and compassion to those who are in need, Lord God, will you help us to love you? Help us to love those that you place in our pathway. And may we continue to point them to our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. People of God, receive the blessing from our God. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of his sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Will you please stand to sing?